hour is upon us, and with that gavel, I have just convened the first meeting of the Subcommittee on Transportation and Economic Development for February the 4th, 2015. We are gathered today for the purpose of an informational meeting, and I think we would be well suited to start with introductions. And so, Senator Monroe, would you begin?
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. I'm Rod Monroe. I was first elected to the legislature in 1976.
Grover Cleveland was president?
Yeah, Grover Cleveland was president. I've served over 20 years in the legislature, 12 years on the Metro Council, 10 years on the David Douglas School Board, 8 years on the Mount Hood Community College Board. While I was, and sundry other things, while I was on the Metro Council, most of that time I was chair of JPAC, Joint Policy Advisory Committee on Transportation. So I have some experience in transportation policy and planning, and I think that's probably why I'm on this subcommittee. I also serve on the Transportation Policy Committee, which is probably adjourning about now. I skipped out a little early.
Good. And before we turn to Co-Chair Gomberg, I would like it noted for the record that our friend and colleague, Senator Hansel, is excused today. He needed to go back to his district, and so he's excused. Co-Chair Gomberg.
Did you want to go ahead? We defer to the Senate here.
All right. I'm Betsy Johnson. I represent Senate District 16, which is Northern Tillamook, Clatsop, Columbia, Multnomah, a portion of Washington, and by a quirk of fate, a little nibble of Yamhill. The Gaston Post Office happens to be in Yamhill County. I have chaired this committee previously. I was first elected in 2000, and prior to coming to the legislature, I was in the commercial helicopter business.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Madam Co-Chair. I'm David Gomberg from House District 10. House District 10 is the central Oregon coast, ranging from 3rd Street in Tillamook, south to Yahats, inland as far as Sheridan, Grand Ronde, and a nibble, to use the phrase, a nibble of Polk County over in Falls City. I'm a small business owner from the Lincoln City area. And you know, you said something that really just sparked a memory. In a former life, I was a field representative for Congressman Les Acoin and was instrumental in keeping the Gaston Post Office open.
And we that represent Yamhill County thank you for it. Representative Witt.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm State Representative Brad Witt. I represent House District 31, which is all of Columbia County. That portion of Washington County, which overly simplified, lies north of Highway 26, and that smidgen of Multnomah County that runs between the two of them past Sobeys Island along Highway 30. I was on this committee, or subcommittee rather, for two sessions ago, and I have now returned.
Thank you very much. Representative Whitsitt.
I'm Representative Gail Whitsitt. I represent House District 56, which is the southern half of Klamath and Lake counties. We border on California, so our roads just cross an imaginary line and become California's problems. I'm a geologist by profession, and I am in my 11th year in the Capitol, but only my second term. I worked for my husband in the Senate for the first 8.
Thank you very much. And to our newest colleague.
Good. Thank you, Madam Chairman. My name is Mike Nierman. I come from House District 23, which is a big chunk of rural western Willamette Valley. On the northern end is Dayton, and the southern end is Monroe, and a lot of sheep and cows in between. The largest city is Dallas. And I'm very happy to be on this committee. I'm not really a transportation person other than as a consumer. I have a driver's license. I guess one other thing that I did is when I was much younger, I worked as a mover for a while, so I had a little bit of experience with transportation there. So I'm happy to be here. Thanks.
Thank you very much. And as if to come in right on cue, we are joined by Representative Reed. We're doing introductions.
Very good. My turn?
Your turn.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm Tobias Reed, state rep from District 27 in Beaverton. Happy to be back in a much larger room than our previous home.
Thank you very much. Mr. Bender, will you walk us through some of the administrative? First, tell us a little bit about yourself. You staffed this committee in previous biennium.
Yes, thank you, Madam Co-Chair. My name is Steve Bender with the Legislative Fiscal Office, and I'll again be serving as your administrator this session. As you know, the Ways and Means subcommittees operate in a little different manner than most legislative committees in how they are staffed. The way that we staff your committees here in Ways and Means is that we will have the legislative analyst who is the expert in the budget areas that are up before you for each bill. So the person that you'll see here in the seat where I am today will be changing depending upon which agency you are working on at the time. We have, actually I won't be here very often because I have only one of the agencies in your subcommittee. Most of the subcommittee agencies will be worked, or you will be assisted by our two budget analysts who are sitting here in the back, if I can just introduce them. Waving there on the left is Michelle Deister, who has most of the economic development agencies that you'll be working on. Next to her is Julie Naburka, who has transportation and aviation. And to introduce the other person in your audience here, this is Dustin Ball. He's not with LFO, he's with the Chief Financial Office, and he is the Program Area Coordinator for Economic Development. So you will see him assisting agencies as they present their materials through much of the session. I'm aware that many of you have been through a subcommittee orientation already today. I know that's not true for all of you, so I'm mindful of not wanting to repeat too much of what you've already heard earlier today, with the understanding that some of you haven't had such a presentation. I'm going to tend to focus more on our subcommittee specific things. If you have any questions about the items that I'm not really going into very much, please let me know either here in the committee meeting or later. But just to provide a brief overview, I would like to remind you that we will be posting all materials in OLIS prior to meetings. So please be sure to have a computer or tablet with you so that you can access these materials. Generally, we will not be providing handouts.
Mr. Bender, I'm going to ask you, because there are people listening to this and as well as our new colleague, would you describe OLIS, please?
Yes. OLIS is the website where all of your materials will be found, or where the materials, the public materials, work products of the legislature are posted. This is available to you and to your staff and to the general public. If you have any questions about where to find things in OLIS, we'd be happy to help you. But please note that there's a separate page for the Joint Subcommittee on Ways and Means Joint Subcommittee on Transportation and Economic Development. Each day, there will be a separate link for that committee's meetings. And if you click on that link, you'll see all of the materials that have been submitted up to that point that have been prepared for presentation for you. During the course of meetings, especially if you're taking public testimony, people will submit additional items. Members of the public may not have submitted items to you in advance. We will take those items that are submitted during the meeting and post them to OLIS as well. So even after a meeting, this is a site that you can refer back to see the various materials that were prepared both prior to a meeting and also presented during that meeting. Our guidelines for providing this material is that we try to provide this material to you as soon as we can, but certainly at least a day or two prior to the meeting, so you'll have opportunities if you would like to look at some of these materials prior to the actual meeting. In some cases, especially as the session progresses and things move more rapidly, we may not get things posted until very shortly before the meeting, but please look to OLIS to the extent that you are having your office staff assist you in getting materials together for you for meetings. Please advise them that they should be checking OLIS. Again, because we don't print things out, it is if you do want printed materials with you at the meeting. I like to do that personally in a lot of cases. We would ask you to print those materials and bring them with you because they will be posted prior. In fact, I have a few materials here. I think if you're willing to indulge me, I might actually move to the desk and then we can project those and I can refer to some things here if that's okay.
That would be fine. And while you're repositioning by way of introductions, let's also go over to Eric Sorensen, who is our staff person helping run the committee. Eric, you want to just introduce yourself? And
sure. Eric Sorensen. I live in Salem. I'm retired and I've worked here since 2007 in the different sessions. So always an LFO.
Thank you very much. And Representative Nierman, just for your consideration, when that blue light is on, we are on the record, both audio and visual.
Okay. Careful what you say.
And if I may add, Madam Co-Chair, Eric will be here pretty much every day, and you are very lucky to have him as your committee assistant. He does a great job, and he really knows the process well, and will be a great help to you and to your staff.
Thank you. Ms. Dyster, could I ask you to hit the lights? Oh, you're doing it from over there. Thank you.
This is, if you haven't seen all this before, this exit is the page. Oops.
Can I do that?
I think you're doing that.
This is the page where you'll be finding the materials that are posted for each meeting. For today's meeting, I posted a few items here for your assistance, and some of these you may want to refer back to several times during the session, actually. This first item is important in that it lists the budget analysts for the various budgets that you will be working this session. The full committee co-chairs have assigned 12 budgets for you to work on this session. For those of you who have served on the subcommittee in the past, these are the same as in the past session, so there's no changes here. But this this table here will show you the analyst who will be working on each of these budgets. These are the individuals who will be with you when these budgets are scheduled. And if you have questions, these are the best people for you to contact in order to get answers regarding these agencies. You can also call me. I will probably just transfer you to the analyst who really knows the agencies. But this is a good list to maintain and to remember if you have questions about an agency. We also put together a packet here for you. This is something you may want to look at or share with your staff later. The main points I wanted to point out very quickly is that we do ask you to contact our office if you're unable to attend a meeting. I know that very often you'll want to, and you will also contact one of the co-chairs or both co-chairs directly, but we ask that you contact us as well so that we know not to expect you, and we can then inform the co-chairs if that information that you tried to get to them through another route didn't get through to them. So that is some other information. The other information, again, because many of you have been through this already today, I don't want to spend too much time on this, but I do want to say that given the size of this committee, in order for any action to be approved by the committee, it requires a majority of both the House members and of the Senate members. That is the only way an item is approved. Given the size of this committee, that of course is two senators and three representatives. So you must have two senators and three representatives to have a quorum and to approve any action. Quorums are particularly important later in the session when you move into work session, because then of course without a quorum there's really nothing this committee can do. So we ask you please to arrive on time all the time, but especially when there's a work session. And another item regarding quorums or related to the quorum is that whenever you are in a room or in a place where three of the representatives in this room on the subcommittee and two of the senators are in there, and you discuss committee business, which could be any of the items for these agencies, if you're talking about any of these agency budgets, that would be a situation where you would be legally holding a meeting of the committee, and it would be unnoticed because we would not have posted it, et cetera. So we urge you to be cautious about that, not to discuss business of the committee under those circumstances. And sometimes if we notice that going on, we may caution you about that. The only times we tend to notice that, frankly, is after the gavel goes down at the end of the meeting. Sometimes people don't leave right away. They continue to talk about, you know, very innocently just talking about topics. We'll probably, or we would in that instance, advise you not to continue talking because you're no longer in public meeting, and that is in violation of the rules relating to noticing meetings. Otherwise, the other thing that I'd like to point out from this orientation packet are rules. Budget note rules have not changed from last time. Those of you who have been on the Ways and Means before know that a budget note does require approval from the subcommittee co-chairs and the full committee co-chairs before it's even presented to a subcommittee for voting. As time goes by, if you would like to, or if you're interested in considering or adding budget notes to bills, I advise you to please start talking first to your co-chairs here early, because this process of getting the approval lined up, I mean, it doesn't take forever, but it is a process that takes some time. And you really, it's not that in the day of a work session you can just decide, you know, you can just recommend a budget note. That probably isn't going to be able to be worked that day because of this process.
Mr. Bender, for the benefit of the public as well as our new colleague, would you please explain a budget note?
Certainly. Budget notes are specific directives to agencies that are approved with a bill. I think we have language here. It's F here. You can see budget notes. They only clarify or expand upon administrative requirements which are directly related to the execution of budgets during the fiscal period covered. The way that we, Ways and Means, works is every budget is associated with a bill. If you look at the bill language is not very descriptive. It generally just contains a few numbers. Some of your budget bills only contain one number, and that's it. That's hardly conveys all of the decisions, however, that you've made in determining what that number is going to be. In order to clarify what those decisions are and what isn't and is not included in the budget you're approving, Ways and Means will produce, and this the staff assists and produces this, a budget report that details what those numbers mean and what they don't mean in some cases. A budget, all of that is information that is public. It is available to all of your colleagues and to yourselves before you vote on the budgets on the floors. The language is already there, and it is a record. A budget note is a particular portion of that record that is different from the other language in that it is inserted. The subcommittee will take a specific vote on specific language. The rest of the budget report won't be written until after you move a bill back to the full committee. You won't see that. We're going to write it up after you're done making your decisions to reflect that. The budget note is different. You will see it, and you will vote on it, and you will wordsmith it if you want to before it is added. As a result, the budget notes achieve particular significance. We look at them with a level of scrutiny. For example, one thing we'll be doing is when every agency comes forward to you, they are going to have to report to you how they responded to each budget note that the previous legislature approved. So there's a separate process. And these budget notes, you can direct the agency more clearly as to what you're providing funding for. You can require them to report back to you on certain items. You can require them to report back to you before approving funding. So you can delay funding to a later time and put in a budget note saying the agency is directed to do A, B, and C. Then we will consider the funding request that came forward to us earlier. So these are the types of things that, again, have this longer approval process. And They are limited, though. They must relate to execution of a budget. In other words, they're not a substitute for statute. So you can't put something that really needs to go into a statute into a budget report. So that's why there's this somewhat of a longer process to ensure that this is meets the criteria and that the co-chairs feel comfortable putting this in.
Thank you.
Are there any questions? Committee rules I won't go over right now. I did want to mention a few things. Let's see, public meetings, budget notes. Okay, one of the items I put in, I'll just show it here, but it is one of the items on all this. We have provided you with a weekly agenda for the next 2 weeks. This shows that what we have planned for you, well, tomorrow isn't on this. Tomorrow you'll be getting a budget overview from the governor's office and from the chief financial office. They'll be discussing the policies and concepts that they used to put their budget request forward. Starting next week,
Interrupting, Mr. Bender. I understand you're giving us an overview now, and we're going to be getting more detail from the governor's office tomorrow. Will the visuals be roughly the same size as they are right here? And I wonder if other people are having the same problem I have and really seeing what they have to say.
I'm sorry for that. I can expand it a bit here, and we'll do that. But right, basically, the projections will look. Most of the projections will be PowerPoint presentations, right, which show up a little better.
We'll feel free to interrupt them as well. Thank you so much.
Sorry, but what you have scheduled for next week are public hearings on the Racing Commission, the Real Estate Agency, and the Department of Aviation, and then the following week, 3 days of public hearings on the Oregon Liquor Control Commission. Again, for each of these public hearings, we'll be posting materials in OLIS. The materials that you can expect is there will be a summary of the agency and its budget prepared from LFO. There will be an agency presentation document prepared by the agency that they will be going through when they're before you. There will be a summary from the chief financial office on what the governor's office has for this agency, and there will be an actual documentation. The budget binders will also be up there that has the details in the budget. These materials will be there, as well as in some cases we'll be having some additional explanatory materials.
Representative Whitsitt.
Yes, I was wondering if, and I'm sure you're aware of this, but the OLCC is conducting their statewide meetings for the public on starting Wednesday, February 18th. Some of us are going back into district because on the marijuana. So some of us in huge districts are like Wednesday, Thursday, Friday to attend those. So I didn't know if you knew that.
I wasn't particularly aware of that. That may, I'm not... We'll ask around to see how many of you are not going to be here and report that back to your subcommittee co-chairs.
Could I also impose on you, Mr. Bender, to get from OLCC a list of where those district meetings are happening and distribute it to the whole committee?
Right. We will do that.
Thank you.
We will do that.
And Representative Nierman, did you have a question too?
No.
Okay. Thank you.
I would if I... Madam Co-Chair, just talk a little bit about the specific budgets that you're working on and some of the issues that you're coming, that you will be getting this biennium. This table here, which is probably a little difficult to read, just lists the different budgets. This is basically in the same alphabetical order on that other sheet where we listed the analysts, and indicates the size of the budgets by various categories. What these next two tables do is they have the same information, but they're ordered differently. This top table here basically ranks the budgets by order. And I think that it's interesting to note that if you look at this total funds column, the yellow column on the right, the budgets that you will be working on vary in size. These are two-year biennial expenditures from the ODOT is the largest, And these are the expenditures for the current biennium, not the proposed biennium. But this biennium, we're expecting ODOT is budgeted to spend $4.6 billion. That's your largest budget. And they go down in size to the smallest budget, which is the first budget you'll be hearing on Monday, the Racing Commission, which is only $6 million. So there's a very broad range in size of agencies here.
Mr. Bender, could you also comment on the different fund types, just sure. at least to touch on that, because I wouldn't want people new to Ways and Means think that we'll be presiding over a $4 billion budget where we have an unlimited amount of discretion.
Yes. Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. As you can see, we also separate these totals out into four broad categories of funds. The first one I'd like to talk about is the second to the right one, non-limited. Non-limited funds are funds, are expenditures. Are expenditures, they're never general fund, they're never lottery funds, but in many cases, other funds and federal funds, the agency spends them. We note how much we expect them to spend, but you as a legislature do not limit expenditures to any amount. We're just noting that activity and including that information in the budget. So these numbers are not in your budget bills. Instead, there's specific language saying that these types of expenditures are not limited. That raises the question. You can see that of the $9.7 billion in agency expenditures this biennium, a fairly large chunk of $4.3 billion were not limited. And I think it's a very reasonable question of why is the legislature letting agencies spend all of these monies without any limitation set by the legislature? And there are reasons for that. Primarily, the types of funds that are non-limited are funds that are very difficult to project the expenditure levels and or that may have particular elements to them that the legislature does not want to specifically limit their expenditure. So if you look at the large numbers here, one of the biggest numbers is for Employment Department. Employment Department has a number of programs. One of them is unemployment insurance payments to workers who are unemployed. Those expenditures have not been limited by the legislature. You could change that, but this is historically. You've told the unemployment department, we have a law that determines what people's unemployment benefits, what they're eligible for. We're not going to tell you that once you hit so many dollars, you have to stop providing unemployment benefit payments. You may spend as much as the law allows. We put that amount in the budget because we want to reflect what we expect the expenditures to be, but those particular expenditures are not limited. There are some other ones here. Housing, you see, has a large number. That's also $1 billion. There's veterans. It's a smaller number. The reason I'm pointing these two out is both of these agencies, housing and veterans, have housing and loan programs, and the expenditures that the agencies make when they receive funds, repayments of these loan payments, etc., those are not limited in those receipts of funds, so we do not put limitation on that. We can go through in more detail as we get into these agency budgets of what's non-limited and why, but there's still about $5.4 billion that you do limit. And these I've shown in four separate fund types. The first is the general fund. These are the funds that are available to you, the legislature, that are not restricted. The second is lottery funds. Lottery funds are not part of the general fund. Because of the constitutional restriction on their use, they cannot be deposited into the general fund. We must look at them separately. But as far as the co-chairs are concerned in balancing the overall budget, both of these funds are viewed as being fungible and are combined in order to finance the overall general fund. We often just call it the general fund lottery fund budget. The expenditures of general fund and lottery funds, these are the ones that you'll be getting the most specific directions from the co-chairs, because they need to balance the budget throughout all six subcommittees. The other funds here are somewhat different. I'm going to skip ahead to federal funds, which are what they sound like. These are funds that are received directly from the federal government, and they have specific restrictions. The federal government determines what they can be used for, but basically they're agency specific. You can't take the funds, federal funds that one agency is getting, and use them to fund something in a different agency. So because of that, the co-chairs aren't looking at an overall budget balance issue here. This is the most complicated of all of the columns, other funds. As the name implies, it's a catch-all, it's everything else. And I think it's helpful to think of three main categories of other funds. The largest category is, like the federal funds, they're agency specific. The agency will be receiving monies that it's allowed to under law. No state agency can get a dime unless the legislature has passed a law somewhere that indicates how they can get that dime, why they are able to acquire that fund. Those laws are not changed in your budget bills. They require separate legislation in order to change those kind of laws. But given the laws that exist, we expect agencies to generate certain levels of revenues from all types of things. They can be generating revenues from taxes. ODOT, for example, gets money from the gas tax. They can get money from fees. ODOT gets money from fees as well. A lot of these agencies, almost all of these agencies, are getting money from specific fees or charges. These all remain agency-specific. They are not used or transferred to other agencies. Because the authority for agencies to get these monies is established in law, you as the legislature, once they have the money, can redirect it if you choose, but not in this budget. You need another bill to do that. Sometimes, as those of you who have been here know, that monies for other funds, for example, are swept and put into the general fund. That is something you can do, generally, without, some funds you really can't do that with, but there's others you can do that. I think as a matter of policy, the legislature doesn't like to do that and tends not to want to do that, but this is an option, and you may be asked to consider some fund sweeps to help balance the budget this time around, as that has been done in the past. So that's the main category. Most of these are just specific to the agency, but there are other categories that are a little different. There's a small category of other funds that represent monies that really you have to think of as general fund. And the co-chairs tend to, because these are other funds that may go into the general fund at some point. The largest of this, of your agencies, is this one, Oregon Liquor Control Commission. Is collecting all types of revenues from sale of liquor, from beer and wine tax. They'll be collecting revenues from sales of marijuana under the new law. And some of these revenues, if OLCC doesn't spend them on administration, go into the general fund. So every time OLCC is spending more money, say, that's less money for the general fund. So there's this tie here. There's this tie with the general fund and for that agency. Finally, the third category of other funds are bond proceeds. Sometimes the state will issue bonds, and the proceeds of those bonds, even though the bonds may be paid for, the debt service may be paid for by the lottery or by general fund, the proceeds of the bonds themselves are other funds. And these, because the debt service, though, is paid by general fund or lottery fund, these are another set of other funds where the co-chairs, full committee co-chairs, are very interested in what you're recommending, because as you recommend debt, that means that there's going to be a general fund or lottery fund cost, which then is not available for other purposes. Those funds are not available for other purposes, and the debt capacity is not available for other debt projects either. Because of the nature of the budgets and the issues that you overview, a lot of the state's general fund and lottery fund debt capacity is used for the programs that you're going to be reviewing. I mean, I think you have more, in the governor's recommended budget, it's more than half of lottery and general fund is for various infrastructure programs, various transportation programs, housing programs. A lot of it goes there. The next biggest group, of course, would be for education. Some of it goes for construction of facilities at higher ed or community colleges. A lot of it goes for natural resources. But you're going to be having a lot of requests for debt. And the way that this is set up is the Capital Construction Subcommittee, not this subcommittee, will be approving actual debt issuances. But because so many of these are for your agencies that you're passing budgets for, they'll be looking to you for recommendations on whether these programs should be funded at all or whether they should be funded at the levels that are being asked for. Those actual decisions need to be made centrally in the Capital Construction Subcommittee that's looking at across all of these budget areas, but you'll be making recommendations to them to assist them in making those determinations. So these are, again, those are the lists of the budgets by size. The only difference between the bottom table is I've just listed the budgets with general fund and lottery fund separately at the top. So these are the ones that the co-chairs are basically providing the most instructions to you as to, well, all we can afford is so much. You know, we just can't afford anymore. So you'll be getting more information like that from them, and we'll be conveying that to you in our LFO recommendations. Finally, to wrap up, just the subcommittee's workload will consist primarily of working these 12 budgets. That will be a primary responsibility, but you'll have other things that we'll be scheduling during the course of this session. Other things that you'll be asked to work on are, first of all, you'll be asked to receive and review various reports. The reports can come before you for a number of reasons. Some of them were required by statute, some of them were required by budget notes, and some of them are less formally required. So the co-chairs of the subcommittee might want to have an agency report on something. If you're interested in having a report on something in one of these budgets, please talk to your subcommittee co-chairs to see if they're able to work that into the schedule. But we will have agencies reporting. And in some cases, especially when the report was required by statute or by budget note, you'll be asked to recommend actions based on that report. So if there's another step, or if you think the report is incomplete, you'll be asked to make that report or recommendation to the full committee of Ways and Means. So that'll be part of the work you'll be asked to do. Another item that comes forward is federal grant applications. The law requires that when a state agency wants to apply for a federal grant, they have to ask for your permission even to apply. And if you don't like what they're asking to do, if you don't like what the grant, what they want to do, or you don't think that's their appropriate responsibility, you can tell them no, you're not allowed to apply. If they do apply and they achieve and they get the grant award, then you have to consider the budget adjustments that may be necessary to allow them to spend the monies, but that's a second process. And finally, the last major item of your work will be working on policy bills that the full committee co-chairs assign to the subcommittee. Policy bills usually will be coming from a policy committee, but in some cases, they will be coming directly to Ways and Means. They'll be assigned by the desks directly to the Ways and Means Committee. Bills get assigned to Ways and Means, policy bills get assigned primarily because they require making an adjustment to an agency budget in order to have whatever the policy is actually happen. You can pass a policy, but if the agency doesn't have the funding to do what they're being told to do, you're going to see that the policy isn't going to happen as you're anticipating. So when those are the cases, we bring those bills forward and you will look at what budget adjustments are needed, if any. Also bills that may have impacts on agencies that could affect their ability to execute a budget may come to you. So even if the particular bill doesn't have require a budget adjustment in and of itself, if you've been working on a budget for one of these agencies and there's another bill that comes through that's going to make the agency unable to do what you've tried to fund, that bill can also come to Ways and Means for that purpose as well. For your work here, please, LFO is here to help you and to assist you. Please note that unlike most legislative staff, we will prepare formal recommendations on these items that I've been mentioning, formal written recommendations that we'll present to you. This is something that we're required to do by statute. I think sometimes people forget that, but that's why we are bringing you these recommendations. The statute says that we are to make recommendations to you on budget issues and financial issues. When you have a policy bill before you, we won't be making any recommendations on the policy, but we will be making recommendations, for example, helping to make a recommendation on how much we think it costs to implement a policy bill. Of course, our recommendations are just recommendations. You're under no requirement to approve them, but we do present them in order to assist you with your work.
Thank you very much. Colleagues, any questions of Mr. Bender?
Excellent.
All right. Thank you very kindly.
Thank you.
One last thing just for the edification of the committee. Co-Chair Gomberg and I will be shifting the gavel back and forth from one meeting to the next. And so I have had the gavel today, and as we move through the cycle, it'll just shift back and forth from day to day. So there being no questions, anything for the good of the order? Any of the analysts want to add anything?
I would just say that Yaha.
Right, come on up.
For the record, Michelle Deister, Legislative Fiscal. Just wanted to, as you all were going through and doing your introductions, I just wanted to say for the record that Yahats is one of my favorite towns in Oregon.
I have a question.
Representative Whitson.
So on the OLCC total funds, is that taking into consideration now that we're going to take on marijuana under that instead of just liquor? I mean, what is that going to do to what you have projected up there?
That will increase it. These numbers, because we don't know what the budget's going to be, these numbers show what the current budget is, so the marijuana program is not in there yet. Yeah. We'll, of course, have information on what the expenditure requests are for administering that program. And it's my understanding, again, Michelle is the expert on this, that they will be asking you to adjust their current biennium budget as well as to include the program in the 15-17 biennium. So there will be, that's one of the reasons why we scheduled their budget so early in the session. Typically, it's been a little later, but we want to make sure that you're getting the information you need to make an earlier decision of adjusting the current biennium budget, which would probably be made sometime in February. You'd make that decision.
And Representative Whitson, I had it in my mind, I had not discussed this with the co-chair, but I hope he agrees, to ask Ms. Deister to ask the agency to do a display that brings folks up to speed on what we have spent to this point and what their request is to be able to implement the marijuana program, and then what and when the anticipated revenues begin. And I'm going to ask the agency to testify to that, because I think that there is going to be a bridge in there before the revenue starts, and I think perhaps the revenue projections were quite optimistic. So I'm asking both the analyst and the agency, if they're listening out there in agency land, that's going to be one of the displays that the committee will want to see. Anything else? Any comments for the good of the order? They're hearing none. We are. Any comments for the good of the order? They're hearing none. We are.